Bit. So let's start with the CRC ballot measure and election timeframes issue. Lori, you had some information for us on what had already been drafted. Is that true?
Yeah. Bronson asked me to sort of dovetail in. I had the question on what the ballot titles could look like, and he was sort of looking at the advisory vote. We sort of merged all that together.
Okay.
I think based on the memo you've already seen, there's three basic rules we've learned from AG opinions and case law and statute that apply to local jurisdiction advisory votes. So the ballot title has to be neutrally worded, that we know. It has to convey enough information that someone who's reading the summary can know where to go look for more information. And it has to address an area over which the board has authority to act. The difficulty comes in applying those three rules to something that's simply worded enough to get your point across on a ballot title and also provide meaningful direction to the board about what you are actually seeking input on from your constituents. I went through the examples that have been considered so far, and they all of them have problems. We can go into them in detail if you'd like, but all of them have problems with one of those three elements.
I would think one of the most common ones, how do you find that neutral
balance
and still ask the question?
Absolutely. I mean, I was looking at the very first description, which discussed the locally preferred alternative, and I read that and I was like, oh, that doesn't sound neutrally worded. And then Bronson informs me that's actually a term of art in the environmental community, which I didn't know because I don't normally do environmental law. So what a voter might perceive to be neutrally worded and what a lawyer might are apparently two different things.
So that's always the case, right?
That does a term of art.
That explains everything right there.
Don't have to use a term of art. But calling it a tolling project or calling it these things could also appear to have some bias to it. So a potential solution I came up with is basically a combination of a county resolution and an advisory vote. Mm-hmm. And this is what it would look like. As a board, you create a resolution that states what your concerns are over the light rail project in sort of the whereas section where you would normally lay out what the concerns or what the reasons are that would lead to a resolution. And then in the body of the resolution, describe the act that you would like the board to take or the county to take in order to alleviate that perceived problem, as long as those actions are clearly within your authority. So you're proposing a resolution, basically, to the problems you're laying out. And then you hold a public hearing, you provide notice, you have public testimony. And then when you get to the end of that time when you would normally adopt the resolution, you have a motion to bring it to an advisory vote. Then the advisory vote ballot submission is put to the auditor, and Bronson and I looked it up, and that is apparently drafted by the prosecuting attorney's office, so we can assist in that process. And it looks something like this. This is my rough guess based on this idea that we have to do this. Should Clark County enact a resolution which would prohibit the use of any county resources in support of the Columbia River Crossing project related to light rail or tolls, as more fully described in proposed resolution 13-XYZ. So that's one way to have an advisory vote that solely affects something within your authority to act, clearly directs people to another document where they can read a lot more details about it, because ballot titles are limited to 75 words total, and also is neutrally worded in a way that doesn't say one way or the other, something like, do you support tolls? You know, something that won't really give you enough direction.
Mm-hmm. And the voter's pamphlet would include the entire resolution then?
Typically, and the direction we got from the Secretary of State's office is that there is actually a list of what's included, and they will include the resolution language. So the resolution language can further reference the EIS or whatever other documents you want to reference.
There's still a for and against statement.
Yes, and you could word the resolution in a way that when you write the ballot title, it's worded positively. And we can work with the wording on how that would all work, but
the right polarity.
It would fix some of the difficulties with the various ballot titles that have been proposed.
So there's a ballot wording that, and there's a title for that ballot measure, right?
So the ballot title, as it's used in statute, refers to a short description, a summary description, and a question. That's all called the ballot title in legislative language.
Columbia River Crossing Project is the title?
No, that's as confusing as the statute uses the term ballot title. It's not just what you and I think of like a title of a book. It's more than that.
So
it's 75-word description of what it is with a question, ending in a question.
Okay, so you say there's three parts to that.
Correct.
And is there clarity as to each what each part really is appropriate for? I mean, like the 75 words, is that the part one of that?
No, it's 75 words total.
That's the question.
And then the summary, which is the middle section, is I think a 30-word limit. And those are not exactly construed. I've seen them go over and under by a few words. It's not a huge...
Okay. And you have something... You didn't email us anything on this yet, did you?
I did not.
Okay. Can you go ahead and email the specifics and especially help us to understand how we can get this right, hopefully, the first time. So we've got the three sections... that we're not going to have problems with.
Since the prosecutor drafts the ballot title in the case of county advisory votes under the statute, the first step is really to get the resolution locked in, mm-hmm. and then we can use the ballot title. Mm-hmm. Then we can draft the ballot title based on the way the resolution is written. Mm-hmm.
You're suggested, you read it all. What did you read again? Can you read that again?
Yeah.
Oh, we have copies. You have more than one?
Uh-huh.
Good. I'll share.
So, again, you have 75 words total, and in that is 30 words for the summary?
Right.
So you actually have... Okay.
So the language we've been discussing
45 words and a 30-word summary.
Yeah, I think probably it would be most helpful to send an email with an example of this is what a ballot title would consist of.
So I was trying to look and see if I had a...
In this, case, or what it could look like.
So, Laura, you said there was part one, which was the ballot title. Part two is the summary, which is a 30-word limit. What was the part three?
A question. It's the question.
The question.
I had a question you may or may not have gotten the answer to. Do we have the cutoff dates for... the November, the general and the primary, that which this has to be submitted by? I've heard three things. Oh, you've got it, okay.
For the primary, for the 8-6, August 6th primary, cutoff is May 10th.
For what? What has to be now done
heard
by
four.
May 10th? What has to be done by May 10th, Jim?
You have to submit to the auditor.
Okay,
that's quick.
That's not enough time.
That's for the primary.
Because you got to do a public notice. That's required. Yeah. What? How many days? 30 days? A
couple weeks at least.
Well, that's. No, I'm sorry. I should back up on that. If you want this, this question out there, on the primary.
Right.
Yes.
That's what we have.
Submit everything by May 10th.
Right. And the primary date is
August 6th.
Yes. And then for the general.
For the general, which is the 5th of November, you'd have to have everything filed by August 6th.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look like there's time to actually get through the
public notice.
Public notice and
I thought it was a week
for the primary.
Not to give it.
I'll go find out. That May 10th.
Sounds right to me, man. That's when the filing week is.
So early.
That's when the filing week for candidates is.
It was May. I thought it was
this
May
came
6th.
From the elections department. Okay.
Oh, does that say?
This is from elections.
What does it say?
Just the dates I gave you.
May 10th?
May
10th. Everything needs to be submitted by May 10th to have the measure on the primary ballot.
On August 6th.
On August 6th.
Okay.
I heard everything from May 1st to May 7th to May 15th.
We have the answer now.
Curious, Lori, on your on the back side of this page you just handed out, the wording looks good, but the polarity is backwards. Can you change that? you sure. come up with a way right now to come up to change that, or is it you have to go back and think about this?
No, I mean, tell me what you mean by the polarity.
Well, you vote yes to be no against to be against the project.
That's the way it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to yes means
favor
the project,
green light,
and no means
do it, build that bridge, you know.
Yes means CRC yes, and no means don't build it.
Right. Mm.
Well, yes means county doesn't spend money to support CRC, is
yes
what it's saying.
Yeah, see, this is
yes
because you can't just say yes supports CRC.
I can see the signs out there now. Vote yes to stop this.
To say no. There's lots of references like that are backwards, and it's not good.
Yeah.
And it would really be we should adopt this resolution or not.
Right. And then the resolution, but the positive of the resolution. Yeah.
Support the project.
Are they voting on the resolution or are they voting on it?
They're voting on whether they're voting on the resolution. They would be voting on whether we should pass the resolution. And the resolution would be included in the voters' panel.
Well, what they need are pro and con committees.
And then you would come back after the election.
That's the way you can do an advisory vote on something like this, because a resolution, we can ask their advice on whether we should pass
a
resolution.
Follow through that we hadn't thought of, I hadn't thought about, is that after that vote happens, then we come back and we vote the way we say, right?
Right.
Yes.
That's one way to get us to vote for the project, right?
It is.
The people say so.
No, the people don't vote. We vote.
Well, they tell us how to.
Are you going to go against the will of the voters?
It's advisory.
So far,
it's an advisory vote, so
they
don't have the ability to.
All right, you got to go. I know. Thank you, Bronson.
Yes.
So,
thank you.
Safe travels.
Have a great trip. I expect you to come back tan and lovely and rest of the
hopefully
exhausted
when I'm here. Scabs.
Yeah, don't carry
on the issue, right?
Watch out for snakes.
Yes, that happens first. And then instead of, I mean, you could vote at the meeting, but if what you're, you know, just yourself, but what you want is an advisory vote, then instead of making a motion to approve the resolution, you make a motion to bring it to an advisory vote, county advisory vote.
So the goal...
That means you put it on the ballot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. That would set it in motion.
Yeah, so we don't necessarily... So I thought we'd have to vote to put the resolution on the ballot.
We would for the advisory vote.
Yeah.
Can you give us a suggestive wording that we would actually say if this was the meeting right now?
Sure.
What motion we would make and how would we word that?
So it would sound like, you know, I move that we put this resolution for an advisory vote to the people of Clark County.
It's easy enough.
Yeah.
Did you come up with a way here to reword this to be the right
way? I'm
thinking
about that. I really want to tweak the language a little on sort of
okay.
All
right.
Words person.
I like the, this is a very straightforward way. I like the basic wording if it was the right polarity. The other basic question is the timing, the general versus the primary.
Well, I just talked to Tim and he said May 10th the deadline, and I just talked to Rebecca and she said we're pretty much dead in the water on notice for a resolution, I think.
Because we're how much time do you have to get?
We're less than 2 weeks out from when we'd need to
submit. We have to get 14 days?
So the 10th would be 2 weeks from Friday, and the Columbia needs 3 days of lead time. That would put it on the same date as the TIF waiver thing. Would it be May 7th? So I just...
That's one way to pack the room.
Yeah.
Well, I'm inclined to go with the general election anyway, even though there's a greater risk that the Federal Transit Administration say, we're going to fund this project regardless of what the people say. Don't wait for the vote. There is a risk they would do that.
Hopefully they
would pay attention to the local community.
The only word that they have from the FTA is that it's the preferred alternative. And they'll fund it off the preferred alternative, which is supposed to be a representation of the people.
Well, one thing really nice about the resolution is that we can say our intent built inside it. For instance, it's obvious that the people in this county want an up or down vote on this project. We can say that in our resolution. Whereas the people of Clark County want an up or down vote on the CRC project.
You have to be...
And
go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say you have to be very careful about misleading the voters, though.
There are definitely prohibitions, and I'm looking at you, Lori, about misleading the voters into believing the vote is something it is not. So if you say, whereas we know you want an up or down vote on the CRC, if that is in any way giving the impression that this is an up or down vote on the CRC, mm-hmm. that it gives them that authority under it, then it is misleading the voters.
Absolutely.
And it would not be legal from my understanding
right.
of it. But I don't know.
Right. I understand that.
It would be outside. Yeah. It would.
So
you just
got to
be careful
saying,
in the language.
Yeah, which I was going to finish. But
sorry.
Yeah,
no, right. Sorry.
So I understand that. We can't claim jurisdiction that we don't have. Well, we can still say, we can explain, because people are going to say, why don't they just give us an up or down vote on this project? Well, our resolution needs to say so. We need to be able to explain that. And say, whereas the people of this county want people to have an up or down vote on this project, and the jurisdiction of the Clark County limits us to whatever, you can say, this is the best way to reflect the will of the citizens regarding this project, or something like that. So that basically the intent of the citizens is communicated through this means. This is the intent, as much as we can accommodate it, and it also removes that argument to invalidate this process. As well, you didn't ask the right question. You know, you can't, and that's baloney. We need to be able to ask the question within the degree of the law that we can comply, and is relate that this is our best attempt for the people to indicate whether or not, if they had a choice, it would be an up or down vote.
Well, my concern is that the FTA is going to make a decision in September and October.
Well, they would like to.
Yeah, that's when their funding year ends.
What their decision is.
But their funding year, the application still has not been turned into the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard takes 10 months. They agreed to approve it in 8 months if they had a complete application by January 30. They didn't. They still haven't got a complete application. Short of a presidential executive order that violates.
You don't think they're going to have that? It's a top 17 project. Top
well,
five.
You're still
five now.
It was top five.
Still
two
dealing
years
with
ago.
The military.
You know how this immigration thing's going? That's item number six.
I look at what are the arguments against this? What are those that who want this to go through, regardless of what the people want? What are they going to say? They're going to say, well, you did it in the primary. That's the lowest turnout election, off-year primary election, and it doesn't reflect the county. Instead, this is our best attempt to cover the whole county in the biggest turnout election that's available to us, which is the general election this year.
And that's our only option.
That helps.
So the other piece of it is, and as we're drafting a resolution, the only two component parts of the Columbia River Crossing that they're being asked whether we should provide funding for or
funding or support for
are light rail and tolling, which are the two aspects of it that you've brought up a lot, and you know it's kind of the two big pieces that you have heartburn with. But once again, you're only identifying two component parts of the project. If you're talking about Columbia River Crossing, you're not talking about two single components. The Columbia River Crossing contains more than that. Whether you believe it or like it or not, it does.
Then you have to name all six?
Well, that's my question. I don't know how you would do that in a way that is neutral in its language and gets to, because the other thing, I mean, I would immediately say that if you only control, you only put those two pieces in, I'd say, well, this isn't an up or down on anything, first of all. Second of all, it's certainly not an up or down on the CRC, because the CRC is a lot more than just light rail and tolling. See what
actually,
I'm saying? So as far as language development.
Let's look at that for a minute. Mm-hmm. It used to be. As of last week, the discovery of what it is, you look at that. I wish I had a printout here.
I know, and I actually got a feedback on that.
It says $850 million for light rail.
Yep.
That requires a 50%. That requires a match. Mm-hmm. And down there at the bottom, it says $850 million from tolls as our local match for light rail. That's a light rail $1.7 billion light rail project at that. There's less than 5% is for highway funds.
So a couple things, and we'll get into that in the board time. I did get a response on, you know, from the project, whether, you know, whatever that's worth, on what that actually was that was submitted. And we can talk about that during the board time, but I don't want to take Lori's time too much on that. But it is still, even if you took that and said that is the project, there's still a bridge, there are still interchanges. Right. Now, they not be the ones that you, and that's assuming that you're right, which it's not. You took one document and went flying off with it. I took one document, got mad, and then called a bunch of people to find out what the heck was going on before I went and sent letters to people saying that how it is. So I can give you that information. That's the joy of following up and not just taking one piece of information and running with it. But
thank you. I'll look forward to that.
I'll give it to you.
What Lori was saying is that we have to have jurisdiction.
Yeah.
We don't have jurisdiction over the bridge.
We don't have jurisdiction over light rail and tolling.
No, we do. C-Tran and C-Tran.
Nope.
And
that's C-Tran. That's not us.
RTC.
But that's not us.
We are the board.
Nope.
Well, see,
we sit on it.
It has a point in that, yes, we sit on the board, and that would be a different board. We have to have House President
exactly.
there. But for this one, and also that could not be a countywide vote. Mm-hmm. This countywide vote, we do have the legal jurisdiction
this
here
would be an
to ask
vote
a
from here
vote on this.
From RTC or C-Tran, it wouldn't be an advisory vote.
No, from here it's about, you can ask, you know, should we use county resources to replace interchanges or bridge or blah 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 associate or light rail or, you know, put toll, you know, or to support with resources. I don't know how you get to tolls.
We can actually put the actual numbers, those parts that are called out. $850 million for light rail, $850 million for matching light rail in the way of tolls. We have just state that in part of our whereases so that basically it says people can see, it says for ourselves. That comes right off the FTA application.
So we're not limited on the whereases.
Well, I think some of the stuff you guys are talking about can be included in some of that 75-word description because the wording we're talking about is sort of that question or the ballot title. It's not that introductory sort of middle section.
In other words,
I think in the middle section you can talk about some of these issues.
We have much more freedom in the resolution itself.
In the body of it, so long as it meets those three tests that that she conveyed to us earlier.
My thinking is that you want your resolution to talk about supporting the CRC project so that your ballot title is positively worded.
Yeah, polarity.
Mm-hmm. The original question when we first worked on this with Ronson, that language that described the elements, the bike and ped, highway improvement, interchange improvement, tolling, and light rail, that was taken directly from the signature page of the record of decision. Mm-hmm. I just want to put it out there. That's where that original memo question, that language came from. So there were those other three elements there.
Okay. So next steps. Do you want, you know, to them to start developing resolution language? Because that's the first step in what she's talking about.
I think that's
about.
Our role. What we need to be able to do is make sure that, I guess we already understand what the limitations are, what we can and cannot do, and you informed us for that. So now we need to go to work and come back with our own proposals, and we'll fine-tune the combination to end up with the right recipe.
And put the word "as" together and
give
it back to Lori.
Anything that we come up with has to pass muster, so we'll pass it back.
That's Lori, not muster.
Oh, yeah. Our office reviews, I think, all the resolutions.
So you're our friend. We like that.
Great.
That has to be done by August, right? For the
August 6th, to actually take the vote to
and
say we would ask the advice of the public on blah,
and the
blah,
sooner
blah.
We act on this, the better. We don't even want to get close to that deadline.
Right.
So,
So, priority for then for the board to come back, start working on resolution language. Do we want staff to take a first cut at it, or do you guys just want to start developing language?
I think it's up to us. We'll
take first stab at it.
All right. So we'll take first stab at language, and then...
How many whereas can I have?
You can put as many as you want.
You put
10 pages of whereas. But you got to be smart about it. Think about it. It's going to be on the ballot as part of the ballot explanation. So you want to make sure that it's clear and clean enough so that when people are opening their voter's pamphlet, that they know what they're actually looking at.
And how many words do you get for the four and against?
the whole section is 75.
No.
He's talking about those statements.
We're not those. We would have to actually appoint a committee for each. Well, I don't know if we do it or the.
I was just asking.
There still has to be a limit.
Not sure who does that.
There is. I think the commissioners appoint.
I think the opposition and the support and opposition committees for that.
I'll be right back.
And when it comes to the committees that are for the for and for the against, can we as commissioners sit on there as well? Can we appoint ourselves?
No idea.
Yeah, that's a good question.
By Axel's Watson.
That would be interesting. I don't know.
I don't think there is.
I've never heard that.
But you vote to write both.
I'm just thinking of legislatively.
I already have to fix the HVAC. I wrote that down, so I'll get my tools.
I will look that up.
With the resolution after that's in the hands of the people.
I can look that up.
Jim might be looking for it.
Find out whatever there would be.
It's just nice to
know how to go about that. How many can be on there, and when it needs to be done. And
time goes by awfully fast, as we found. Mm-hmm. We'd have a 3-day window if we aimed at the primary.
Maybe.
That's if it fell on the right day. The right day.
Yep.
Cool. So, Lori, do I understand correctly that the only way we can really the closest we can get to giving people an up or down vote on this is to ask them about county resources applied to this project, spent for this project.
From what Bronson and I have discussed, is my understanding that that is all that is within your authority to act, and that's the issue that should therefore be addressed by the advisory vote. You know, the reason they limit what you can ask in an advisory vote is so that county resources aren't used to ask questions that the county can't act on, basically. That's why there's that limitation.
Well, we can act on whether or not, in fact, we've already acted on passing a resolution that opposed funding of this project. We passed a resolution on that.
Yeah, but you didn't put it on the ballot.
Well, but
you can pass a resolution for anything you want.
Because it costs, when we do a ballot, it costs money, as we talked about. Well, negligible in the general.
You can pass a resolution from the dais about any subject you want.
What's that?
In the even years.
Ah.
Well,
odd years.
If there is, let me follow with me for a minute.
Okay.
Consider the resolution we already passed. We basically ended up concluding, don't fund this project. Okay. That's our own. That as representatives, because we recognized the last general election vote, people said no.
Okay.
And is there a way for an advisory vote or another resolution that can refer back to that said that we, in a previous resolution, urged don't fund this project, it's not the appropriate use of resources, there are smarter resources to. Can we refer back to that so that people understand there's we want to stay within the clear jurisdiction, but we also want to be able to accomplish the goal in as much as legally possible to give an up or down vote by the people. Can you buy into, do you agree with this resolution that the commissioner said, we urge you not to? Because we do have the freedom to urge don't fund this project. That is our jurisdiction.
You have the freedom to take that position as a board of commission.
Yeah.
I think when we ask for an advisory vote, it has to be neutral. Well, related to those things. So with that being said, we actually can increase the sales tax.
No, it doesn't have to be neutral. It just has to. You can't lead them one way or another. We've already taken a very obvious biased position against this project by resolution.
Well, you can probably do that in the whereas, as you can reference it then.
Yeah. So, Lori, if this resolution instead if it didn't talk about spending county resources, instead it had to do with agreeing with our resolution that we said don't fund this project.
Like you whereas.
We're not extending our jurisdiction. We're saying, do you agree with us? Because we have the freedom to be able to pass this resolution that viewed our representation. We're informing our legislature.
So in thinking about how that would look on a ballot title, you're going to have the it's going to be the wrong polarity.
We can fix that one.
But you might solve that.
Because we can pass another one with the same kind of right polarity.
I think you need to put something to her and have her say it works or it doesn't.
So what are you saying?
We're fishing for a more direct way of getting an up or down vote on this project and still keep within the jurisdiction of what we, it sounds like it's an oxymoron, but I think there may be a way. I'm giving up on it. And here's what we're fishing with here is the resolution that we already passed that said we urge you not to fund this project. There's smarter priorities on a third bridge.
No, it doesn't say that.
Yeah, what does
it say? That the board, whereas the board of commissioners does not.
I think we'd submit it to her
if you could strike it. We could put it in whereas.
Well, why don't we do this? We have time between now and when we meet on this to submit various things to you, and then you could see whether or not we could tweak it or whether or not it passes muster.
And you're hearing.
And it sounds like it's going to be two different resolutions.
And I'm wondering if we can do a ballot title based on the existing resolution and meet your May 10 deadline now that I'm listening to.
We're not going to meet the May 10 deadline.
Okay.
Oh, no, well, May 10 is out anyway.
Okay.
What's that?
The ballot title is a question.
That's part of it. Kelly's printing it out now. Title.
Yeah.
30 words of subject.
Well, you're giving them the advice of how to protect this in the legal way, but arguably they could vote to put any question they want on, and then it would have to be challenged, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, because I've seen a lot of
if it's challenged, it ain't going to make the then right. you're risking it not making the ballot at all.
That's right.
But I want you to raise your hand and stop it.
Yeah,
trust me. If you depending on how you do this, there will definitely be people that will appeal.
I would love to see who.
There's a gate before
that. Because they're hiding now.
Regardless of that, I'd like to know what Lori has to say.
Yeah.
What about suppose we do push the limits and say this is an up or down. We want to hear from you. Do you support it or don't you support it? It was as clear as that, and we pass it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
So
can you do your job?
Since the statute is worded in a way that requires the prosecuting attorney to be the gatekeeper of the making sure that all ballot titles fulfill the legal requirements, if it was outside the scope of the board's authority or not neutrally worded or any of those things we talked about, it would get killed in our office. You'd basically be putting the civil division in the position of killing it if it didn't meet those criteria.
No. Well, I still want to pursue this with you because this is important.
Yeah.
We're not asking them, do you authorize us to go forward with this project?
Right.
We're asking them, do you agree with this position? Do you give us? Can you give us? How do you feel about this? This is not a binding vote. It's still advisory, and this is something that is. This is the biggest project that's going to affect Clark County in our history. So there must be a way we can ask if the citizens agree with our view on this, the majority view on this.
Ultimately, that's the point. Is that we're county commissioners. We're not God. So we're not going to. We don't have ultimate authority over these things. We don't have authority over this project.
And this, until we put it down in writing, it's hypothetical for her to make a decision.
It's true. I just wanted to get some preliminary before we did that. So there is a possibility. Yeah, we'll have to pass a union concede.
Yeah.
It is possible.
How about if I read this and you guys can work on your next project and I can maybe even...
Perfect. And actually, we're not going to come back to this today because there's a lot more work to do. And we've got a little time because I think we've come to an agreement that the May 10 thing isn't going to happen as far as when we would have to submit, which gives us a little bit of time to figure it out and get it right. So feel free, take this next week, look it over, see what you think, come back with some ideas. You hear where the board's trying to get, right?
Just so I can you think you can put an advisory vote that can reference this. You want to know if it can reference
Or we can do another one similar with the right polarity. Yeah.
Or another one with the right polarity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Referencing a resolution that takes a position.
Yeah, it'd be another resolution with one whereas referencing this.
Well, that's one possibility. Or you could do a brand new resolution that's tailored with the intent of providing up or down indication from the citizens how you feel about this.
And
we related how we feel about this. So we're not saying we have jurisdiction. We're just saying we have an opinion. What's yours?
Got it. Okay. Yes. You want to just put me on board time next week?
That sounds great. Great. Okay. Thank you.
And, yeah, in the meantime, you can email whatever you have, and feel free, anything interim wise, so we can chew on it.
Right.
That'd be great.
I have a summary on ballot type, so I can get that up.
Thank you.
Yeah, as you're thinking up ideas for this, yeah, that's a great idea. Submit them to Lori, and that'll help her with her thought process.
Yeah, on a daily basis, she'd say,
I like it.
Hourly?
For her to do it. May not be able to go.
Is it Friday?
You need to go where you want to go, then never say yes, no, and so on.
All right. Cool. Thank you, Lori. We'll see you next week as far as that goes. Kelly, invocation.
I'm not on here anymore.
Nope, you're done.
You don't need any.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. See you later, Lori.
So how old are you?
Hey, I'll be here waiting for your kid to work today tomorrow. So you guys, if we walk in here, we'll talk about what a good employee I am.
You got it. You got it. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Have a great show.
Kelly.
So where it left last week, I think, was you wanted to take a week to talk over or think about it, and it was really in the side of the ball court for the board to determine what you wanted to do with the policy. But in the interim, hopefully you got the email I sent out about having all that information on the H drive now.
Oh, yeah, and this is on the prayer.
On the invocation policy.
Yeah. And I haven't had time to do my homework. Somebody
either.
Scheduled me to.
Yeah.
So I don't have anything new to add. It's really just wherever you want to go from here.
We're fixing that. Yeah. I know you're doing this. Yeah, this is after you've gone through the Anfield district.
I'm the one who keeps taking it off. All right.
Tom, what do you have on this? We're not ready to change guidelines on it.
No.
Not either.
In fact, I was just going to take the information that you came up with all
the list.
Churches that we have in Clark County. And draft up an invitation.
And in that regard, what I did is I included a subfolder for the city of Lancaster in California, one that Bronx has been referencing, and that also included a spreadsheet with all of the congregations that they had on.
Well, I saw that, but it really didn't. It's really irrelevant to ours because we have to have our own.
Oh, I know. I just wanted you to get a sense as to the variety that they had.
Yeah, and you kind of already gave that to us.
Yes.
In ours.
Okay.
Yeah.
So between now and the time that we can resolve this, we're just kind of transitioning week to week to week until we can settle it.
Yeah,
I think there is a list, a
letter of invitation to be sent out to those established religions that we see in Clark County and send it.
Well, I like every other process. We vote on on whatever it is. And in this case, we would look at the list, and we would agree on it.
Oh, okay. You want to agree on the list?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We all have that list, right?
Yes.
Not
sir.
In front of us. Next
Not
week.
In front of us. Yeah. That's okay. So to be continued.
So two things.
Okay.
Next week, do a draft, an invitation, and then we'll come back with our list to give up or down on the list.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
That'll be a start.
Okay. So in the meantime, I'll try to draft that quickly and get it on the H drive as a draft for review.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So to be continued, we got work to do on that one. Freeholder resolution research is available. Kelly's put a lot of it online already. Kelly, what update do you have for us on that?
Really nothing more on that other than, again, sort of like the invocation policy where we left it last week was you had the information. There have been a few minor tweaks on some of the spreadsheets on the H drive that I've been doing, but nothing really substantial. So it's, where do you want to go from here? I think the question is, do you want to kickstart a board of freeholders or not?
I was going to submit those questions to the only person that we had that had concerns but didn't have questions for those elected officials that we met with.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do it yet. I was going to send them an email and ask them what were their concerns.
Okay.
And address their concerns. But it was really interesting, and I kind of enjoyed it, the list of stuff they put on the H drive of the things that was submitted and passed and was rejected. It's...
Yeah, the question is, have you had the opportunity to really go through that material and to the point where you feel like, yep, I understand it, and I feel now I form an opinion? I haven't. I've been...
Well, I see nothing there that I'm concerned with. But it was interesting to see the things that were proposed but the good voters recognize the good and the bad. I didn't see anything there that I thought was bad that the voters voted for.
What about the different charters? Do you feel like one match, one is better than the other?
Well, that's something that we wouldn't have control on. If you tasked the freeholders to put together a charter and submit it to the voters, they put it together.
Well, there must be a template that you would expect that would be what you imagine would be healthy in your eyes.
The freeholders would be...
I mean, just simply as a... Yeah, the process would be the same. But if you'd imagine that with the choices that are there, would you pick one and say, that's obviously a better choice than what we have now?
We don't do that.
True, but that would be freeholders. But before we task the freeholders and set this whole process up, I would think that we ought to be able to evaluate the value of it by looking at it and saying, this is better, which one of these, or any of these better than what we have?
We would probably go, we don't have control of that. Once we decide to say, okay, freeholders come and sign up to be elected, then the freeholders are given that information. And then they put together what they think would be that would work for Clark County.
Yes, and we've had that happen six times in Clark in Washington State. They've gone through that
four times in 1 year. We had four things on the ballot.
He's talking about the other six. The charter county.
Yeah.
What I would surmise is that the Board of Freeholders would be strongly inclined to utilizing the previous charter attempt as their initial baseline for developing a charter, with the idea of what went wrong and how should this be changed to be more acceptable.
That's probably what we...
In other words, there was a... What's that?
We give them that along with the information of what the other charters look like.
They get all that information.
Do you have information that the latest attempt to become a charter county failed?
Correct.
Do we have that charter?
Yes, I've added that
on there.
That's on the H drive as well as the election.
I haven't had a chance to look at that. When I was at WASAC, somebody mentioned that because I was asking county officials, like, hey, you know, what information, what charter things have you done? Yeah. So I didn't have information on kind of what it was and why it failed. Yeah. So I was curious.
Commissioner Stewart, I have a link that was sent to me by WASAC.
Cool.
Gives a tremendous amount of great information on all of the counties that have charters, mm-hmm. people have tried to have charters, which ones had amendments that came back and they had to amend it two or three times. And so I can provide that link to anybody.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. That'd be great.
I love that.
Yeah,
thank
I would
you.
Like to have that too. Yeah.
That'd be great. Okay.
And that would probably be the same information that we would give to the freeholders mm-hmm. when you walk in the door here. Here's what has been, here's what is, here's what was tried. What do you think would work for Clark County? Then they go debate that for the...
Well, keep in mind that what we've done at that point, we've said, okay, green light, full speed ahead, get the freeholders going, and that is a process that is already going to incur time and expense. And the question is, before we set that all that in motion, have we already concluded that we ought to do that?
What are you concerned with?
Have you just not had the chance to kind of get to that conclusion as far as whether...
No, there's advantages and disadvantages.
I don't know. I can't think of a disadvantage that I saw that any other people did. I wouldn't necessarily do it. I wouldn't be in favor of. Not I get one vote as a citizen, but I wouldn't want my county administrator to be elected.
Yet almost every other charter county has an elected executive.
No, the minority. The minority.
Four of the six.
Four of the
really?
Six.
Four of the six?
Yeah.
San Juan and Clallam County have county administrators that are appointed. Yeah. All the rest have county executives that are elected, and they do have veto authority.
Yes.
And how's that working?
You'd have to ask them. I mean,
they haven't undone their charter.
No, well, and there's, I mean,
once it goes that way, you're not going to undo it.
And there's a question. I mean, it depends on who you ask. I mean, there are certainly rubs that you find, and you see it all the time at WASAC, where you see Snohomish and King and Pierce, their councils versus their executive. There is definitely they're very separate, and they both have their own kind of ends that they're trying to meet, and they don't, you know, and sometimes they work well together, sometimes they don't. You know, like Snohomish is a good example where Reardon, the most recent Snohomish County exec, he just left. And I say left, he got booted by his own issues, his own personal foibles. But his council was at odds with him like constantly because we used to call him Governor Reardon because he always thought he was the governor even when he was a junior legislator.
That's Reardon.
Yeah, exactly. You remember him in the legislature.
I do.
And he was just kind of that guy. And same thing with King County Council and Dow Constantine. I mean, it just depends on the place.
Reardon, how'd that work out for you?
I would think that would be a terrible for our community.
He's not there anymore.
But
it has the accountability is what I'm telling you.
Well, the thing is that you're setting a. It's like having two bosses to head up a business. It doesn't work. You're going to be like this, and this as a new guy here in the commission, I love how this county government works. You can. This is so far better, so much better than a city council. In the city council, you're removed, and things move very slowly.
We're not the same as
here.
City
you
council.
Can you can turn this county on a dime. And it facilitates very well. I love the staff. I love Bill Barron. And the way that works is just, it's functional. When you got two bosses, and you got the commissioners, and you got the county administrator, and I said, if he's going to run for office, he's already a political guy. He's not like an administrator that serves at your pleasure.
Between the legislature, the governor, and the judicial. Because that's about what it is.
It does. It separates out. Right now we have the judicial and
that's
executive,
the way, that's
I mean,
the
executive and administrative
too.
Together right now. This separates them.
Yeah. Executive and legislative. Yeah.
It works the same manner. You have sideboards of every authority of each office.
Yeah. I think before we go down this road, that we really need to examine that, because however it starts, it only takes 50% plus one vote to change it. And you have an elected administrator.
Some background that might be informative. In 2002, when the Board of Freeholders was looking at how to design the government of the county, they talked about the county executive at some length. And I think it's a pretty direct reflection of our community. They just saw it as an additional cost issue that was unnecessary because we didn't have some sort of leadership problem in our administrative side of government. They were very happy with Bill Barron, I think, the way you've been describing it. Where they got a lot of pressure was from the existing Board of Commissioners at that time, who were not happy with the fact that any two of them talking about a policy issue was illegal because it constituted a quorum. And so they were interested in expanding to five commissioners, and they made that very clear to the Board of Freeholders. But the Board of Freeholders did not just simply reflect that in the ballot. Their concern, again, was that was an additional cost issue, and that's why they separated that out as a separate item during the election.
And that was those freeholders. And every issue, it brings in the issues of the day, and you can guarantee that the people who run for freeholders are the ones that specifically have an issue with what's going on in county government right now. And those are the issues that the freeholders will deal with. And in 2002, the issues are different than they are now, and in 2002, they're different than they were the last time, years ago, when it was tried. So we don't know what issues that they will come up with. Initiative and referendum was certainly a big one that was addressed in this last kind of go-around as well. It's hard to tell what they'll come up with. A lot of it is based on what got them motivated to be a freeholder in the first place. And then they come up with what they come up with.
And that's true. It has to
be accepted by the majority of the voters.
It's true.
So you have over 200,000 people who are going to decide what to vote right.
It depends. You could have the special elections and an off year.
No, it has to be a general election.
A general election and an off year. and a small percentage of people can change the form of government.
I love my voters. They vote for me twice.
All right, so just to move things along a little bit, because we got a lot on our agenda,
yes,
and we're running late. We're not at a conclusion, is my sense of things right now. Let's do some more research.
Bring back
the concerns for Commissioner Melky.
Yeah.
All right. We're on it. Mm-hmm. All right. So those are the last on the old business, which is good. Let's go with commissioners first. Commissioner Melky, do you have anything?
My notes were scattered all over. Some of the things I wanted to bring up, though, was this food for thought stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I had a discussion with Marty over health department signing off on permits, and we touched on it real briefly today with Deeb. And in there, what's happened is that they're back making the health department sign off on remodels, and that is not only the fact that they had to go someplace else, that somebody over there held it back for three more days to go inspect something when you already had a plot plan on a remodel that showed the drain field. And the remodeler, the builder, was just livid. And so was the septic guy, because the septic guy got involved in it somehow, too. So the question I asked Marty, I said, Marty, what would that look like if we brought that portion of construction into the permit office? And then today we also heard a little bit about the environmental requirement, which would be stormwater. Is there a possibility for us to fit that in one stop, one shop type of a thing, where when you walked in there, you'd know what it was. Mm-hmm. I think stormwater, we still have a lot more work to do, because we have to address the new regulations on plot site,
mm-hmm,
as well as development. But I think it might be done. But also, I think unless Deeb or somebody else has something else, I only saw three options of on-site ways to handle the water,
mm-hmm,
and that was. And I don't know of anything else submitted or how that came about, but it was one of the things that we looked at, and the people doing the development came back and they said, "Oh, thank goodness, the engineer already engineered the three options. How come only the three options work?"
Yeah.
So I'm looking at a consideration, and Marty said, "You know, that's a good thought, and it's something that we should be looking at, because we're looking at time." And also it has gotten out of hand again. And Marty, your people are supposed to know on a construction deal, when they walked in with a plot plan and they showed you the plot of the land,
mm-hmm,
and where everything was, why did you send them over there to sign off, charge another $75, and then put a delay on it because they said they wanted to go? They didn't believe his plot plan.
So we've talked about this, and I think it would be a great initiative for Deeb to evaluate the benefit of having environmental health specialists in the permit center.
That's, we had them there for a little while. We got to figure out a way to make it most efficient, because we had someone sitting over there, and remember, we brought them over. They didn't have enough work to do, and so they were sitting around. So we got to figure out a way so they can multitask in the space and do things.
They need an office there. We need somebody there. That's their office. They show up every day because
they do the same work as they would do no matter where their office is.
Because septic and well, it's always an issue down in the permit center. And driving across town, I mean, we have it in our building and planning department up north.
Maybe in Cowlitz that's across town, dude.
Well, that's a long way.
It's across town.
And the other one that we keep talking about doing nothing with, concurrency.
Yeah.
Level of service and concurrency, and what's happening is we end up with moratoriums and urban holdings.
This year we got to get concurrency done. That's my promise to you, is we will have a proposal that before the end of this year we will change concurrency.
Yeah.
Is that a real full year or 13?
That's a 2013.
Soon as possible. That's one of those
December
things.
December 31st.
That's really important, and it's one of the things I think we can do sooner than later.
There are pieces of it that we can do sooner than later, but to fix it, you know, give me 6 months before a hearing and we'll have it fixed. I mean, we have the proposals in hand. Steve and I and Axel, mm-hmm, and Mike Mabry and a couple others, we had a proposal that we just ended up over the holidays, we kind of ended up shelving because we ended up getting on other things, but we got to pick it back up.
And one other thing, we always talk about it, and we're talking about eight TIF districts versus one.
Right.
And no one could give me the answer.
Yeah,
so nobody ever
there.
Came right. back to say, yeah, the state will allow or they won't. Can we have one? Can we have three?
Well, they said that it's somewhere in between, right? They said you can probably have a few more. Yeah. It's just you can't stretch it to have one.
Yeah. And the advantage is that we would be able to put the money to the ground where it's needed,
mm-hmm.
thus lowering the ongoing TIF fee as it comes back into play. We could go back and look at that reasonable cost.
Agreed. Cool.
That's all. And then I have some other things. I lost them on my desk.
Of course. Just a simple thing. I look at anything that's happening here and think, well, is there anything that's really undefined that maybe we should plug the hole with policy? As I left yesterday, I noticed this sign where the permit counter is or door is, and it said fees go up for if you don't have a pet license on May 1st, they go up to $100 for a fine. And I'm thinking that may be an idea. But who came up with that? Isn't that our policy to determine whether or not we're going to zing citizens?
I think we did. I think that in our last round of when we did the pet licenses, we specifically talked about, was it last year? Must have been last year.
We did action at that time. We didn't do an ongoing action.
Sure we did.
Because we took action at that time and we had a huge onslaught of people applying for licenses.
Yes.
And our revenue just shot up on that.
And part of it was because we said, if you don't do this, the fine's going up. And so that helped us get a bunch of people in the door and so that they didn't get fined.
And then the other issue was stormwater. When all of a sudden we found out that there's a $270 fee from Environmental Services to go out at the development and look at each lot.
Right, and that was it, but that was different just because that was their review fee. This was a zinger. This was literally, that is exactly what it was.
No, what
saying.
It was.
Well,
what it was, we were blind. I didn't know anything about the 270. I didn't know anything about the other fee increase either.
You were there, dude.
Well, I know, but I don't think we were going to raise it this year.
It was last year. Yeah, it was last year, and we set it in policy, so that it just stays. I mean, that's.
Can we get a copy of that decision?
Yeah. So actually, that's a great idea. So for last year, what was the policy conversation? Get the memorialization of both work session and hearing to Commissioner Madore, and then we can come back and say, all right, is that something that we need to plug? Change up.
Yeah. And related to that,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming, especially since we're looking at any way to remove obstacles, penalties, pain for anybody who wants to come and do a permit. Permit includes Environmental Services. That no fee is to be added, increased, without commissioners making that policy. Is that already policy?
No, that's the norm.
The
norm is that it does come back.
Yeah. Health
department
comes
back to us.
Because those are setting code. And we're the only ones who can change code.
Yeah.
So the no department here can start charging a fee where there wasn't a fee.
Well, correct.
No department here can raise a fee unless it actually is implemented a decision by the commissioner.
Correct. Environmental Services did on the 270.
No, I don't think they did, man. But because they couldn't have. But you can't change code. You can't raise a fee without changing code because it's in our code.
Can you answer that question?
They may have slid it by, but we adopted it somehow. I don't know.
Environmental Services fee.
I remember asking him. At the deal.
Why don't you just trace it back, man? Figure out when was that adopted, and then
Axel's going to go look it up.
It's a $270 environmental fee for what?
It was
stormwater.
It was in the new phase because now they don't do it as a development. They do a development, then they do lot by lot.
Okay.
So we'll find that out.
Yep.
But absolutely, any fee increase, any fee assigning of a fee has to come to us because it's a change in code, and we're the only ones who can do that.
Good.
Cool. Anything else?
Not this week.
Responding to a state mandate as to how much it gets charged.
Nope, because the fee still must be enacted in local code by the Board of Health and by Board of Commissioners. So the state can charge a fee that we end up collecting, but there is no fee that can be charged by the county body without the county elected legislative body approving it.
And I think we also have to adopt the state fee.
Some of them we have to ratify, but a lot of them the state, we just collect them for the state. So we don't have to do, we don't get big control over those a lot of times.
When we're collecting
it. Agreed. Yeah, totally agree with you.
Just related to that.
Mm-hmm.
the state may end up with some legislation that says, for this process, you got to collect the fee. And the question is, let's say it's some fee that we don't want to charge that for because it's going to do just horrible things for our, I mean, imagine.
Stormwater, okay? Perfect example.
Okay. We could say, hey, state, we'll pay the fee, but we're not going to charge customers for that. You're going to collect it from our general fund. Is it? I'm not saying to do it. I'm saying, do we have the freedom to do that?
It's a good question. Yeah, I don't know.
I think Axel's right. We're tasked with putting the program together. How we fund it might not be mandated.
Depends.
We usually get the task.
Yeah, it would depend
on
the fee.
They give you the authority to adopt a fee.
That's it. They give us
I don't think you have to do but you have to pay for a program.
That's not what he's talking about. But that's stormwater you're talking about. He's talking about specifically if they say state health department requires that this fee come in for a new restaurant or whatever. Then the question is, can we pay that out of the general fund, or is that specified within their statute, authorizing statute, that it will be paid for by the owner, not by us.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer.
Probably all.
We can find out.
My guess is we could pay it. It'd be like sales tax. A retail outlet doesn't have to collect it from the customer. They could just pay it. So
in theory.
They mandate the fee. But I'm
so it's a basic question.
That's what we'll find out.
It would be good to know if does the state really mandate any particular fee that must be collected from the end user or not?
Right. All right. Axel's on it. All right, Lefty. Thank you for your help on that. All right, I have a few things. First thing, a request, and it's something I've forgotten over the past couple weeks, the ringer.
Oh yeah.
It's happened just in the last 2 days. It happened when a person from the public was testifying and when staff was testifying that your quack, quack, quack went off on your phone.
Oh, sorry.
Please turn your phone off before you go into
hearings.
That should be lunch for everybody penalty.
I like that. Can we assess that?
We should assess the county administrator.
I'm digging that. That's two votes.
I'm guilty.
We got two votes.
The legislature does assess a penalty for their members when things like that happen. So, you know.
You got two votes.
I like that. Just it's something I've forgotten to mention. But
you got to use the right terminology. It's not
acceptable.
A ringer, it's a quacker.
It's a quacker. Yeah, thank you. And as a, you know, as a duck, I enjoy that, right. But, you know. But for people who are in the middle of testifying, it can get kind of discombobulating for them. So
let's add it to, okay, Rebecca does wonderful. She says, hey, guys, turn off your ringers. I need a reminder, okay? Otherwise, I'm going to be paying up all the time.
Fair enough. All right, thank you.
Rebecca needs to be meaner to you guys.
Yeah,
be meaner.
Yeah, exact direction.
All right. Second thing. I know, now that I have a folder.
I apologize for the quacker. It's just
no worries. It's just one of those things that, you know.
Makes life better.
I need a folder.
Patty Murray. I know. I live better now that I've actually organized myself.
Stuff on the side and I put stuff on top of it.
This is just FYI, letter from Senator Murray thanking us for our input on Pearson. It was concerns, but she has certainly not been as not much.
I think we're in limbo.
Not much.
So it's thank you, but I'm not doing anything.
It's pretty much. Yeah, the Senate has not done anything to move things forward, and Congresswoman Herrera Butler's bill is stalled. So, and she has been quoted as saying, you know, I'm going to do as much as I can, but I don't know what else I can do. So it's we're in limbo on that right now, but we can get an update on where Pearson's at. I don't know. This was just I'm concerned.
Okay.
The hoof rot letter that we got from Department of Fish and Wildlife was sent forward to Bruce Barnes. Did you guys have a chance to see that? It was in our folders that came through.
Yes.
It was a good letter, and I actually got my 2013 Hunter's Guide pamphlet, and it's in there. It's actually specifically called out now, which is good, so that it's making hunters aware of the situation and of what to look for. So that's good stuff.
And I heard something along the way. Somebody said it could make you sick.
Yes.
I don't know. Holy cow. Health department, red flags all over the place.
Yeah, agreed. And that's
it was interesting to see their WDFW's response to that letter. They were choice in their language about saying we're not sure about the health aspect.
Which was good. I mean, instead of them just blanket saying, oh, you're fine, don't worry about it. They were saying, look, be aware of this, which I was glad. They were good.
Okay. Related to that, Steve, it doesn't really solve the problem. It doesn't do anything to address the problem of these herds. It might, you know, say, hey, caution, caution to you, you don't get infected by that disease that's killing all the animals.
Right.
But shouldn't we got a health department here. Shouldn't we task them to look into it, to do some, take an active role.
That's what DFW scientists are for, and that's what they've said they're doing. That's what, and it'll be on the June agenda for DFW, for Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. That's their whole job, is to deal with these kinds of issues. What they have said is that they are going to actually be doing scientific evaluation of what is going on and how can we fix it.
Okay, so they're on it.
Yes.
And we don't, and because they're on it, we don't have to be.
Exactly.
I heard at least till June. WSU.
Yeah.
Okay. A Pullman. Was given.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a scientist, there's a teacher slash scientist from WSU Pullman that's helping them out. Or yes. Spokane. I forget which one.
I think it's WSU Pullman. But they sent the specimens of biological stuff all over the world.
Exactly. So they have scientists on it, which is good, because then they can start figuring out now we know what it is, we know what causes it, now we can start addressing it. So they're working on that.
What's causing it?
They don't know yet. Oh. That's what I'm saying. That's the process they're going through.
Okay.
So last night I ended up going till 9:30 to a neighborhood association meeting along Highway 99. They want to prioritize. They're concerned.
What is that?
So this one is the
Sidewalk Hills? Fitzsimmons.
It's Sherwood Hills, I think. Is that the name of it? It's between 99th Street and 119th on Highway 99, that area that doesn't have sidewalks.
And that's also real steep in that one.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so they're very concerned because a lot of people will walk down to Klein Line. You know, they'll have kids walking to Klein Line. There are bus stops along the way. You've got Chuck's going in at the northern end on the east side. So they're concerned that the sidewalks aren't in. It's on our six-year transportation improvement program. They want to see what can be done to prioritize that, to get it moving as quickly as possible.
We get
and this is petitions from neighbors.
We get money from transportation committee for safety, and it could be used for vests for road patrol, school patrol, or it could be used for sidewalk improvement.
And that's one of three of Bill Wright's interim solutions. Now,
yes.
Jim's going to ask you for a work session in August from Public Works to discuss these three interim solutions for this. I would recommend maybe we ask him to move it up a little further.
I'm with Axel on that. Yeah. I mean, because these folks are definitely are worried.
Because I called yesterday. Vicki Fitzsimmons was here.
Yeah. She's the chair of this neighborhood association. That.
So... Anyways, let's talk.
While we're talking,
it's been requested for a work session, but let's maybe move it up.
Related to this, if you put in a sidewalk and then later you're going to tear up the sidewalk and the road to widen it, you're really burning money unnecessarily. Is there a way that instead of putting a paved sidewalk there that you're going to tear up, an expensive resource, that you can at least provide a gravel or something. No, it doesn't pass ADA, but it doesn't pass ADA now.
The good news is, and just sorry to cut you off, but Highway 99 doesn't require widening. And they already did the engineering, full engineering for these improvements. It's a project that's been on our list since 2006. There's a full, like they had an open house in 2006 about these improvements, and they were supposed to start in 2010 and 11 and be done by 2012.
So the elevation's going to stay the same too?
Yeah, the only thing that they have to do is they have right-of-way available because the outer lane on Highway 99 is oversized, so they can, between the right-of-way on one side of it and the right-of-way that we have to make both lanes the same width, they can put sidewalks along there without having to
tear it out after.
No, it's a relatively simple project, but it's a long stretch, so it's not, you know, it's not inexpensive necessarily, and there are the elevation issues, and there are some environmental issues about potential runoff that we have to deal with, because there's a couple of creeks, and so there are issues, but...
Sure, let's move up the workshop on that.
Yeah, okay. We'll ask for like June and see how
if Rebecca's head explodes.
Talk about the beautification of Highway 99.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be starting at the railroad.
Yep.
Where are we?
Two things. So the signs and the beautification for the berm are ready, but they're trying to tie it into fall, because in fall there is a big work party that we contributed funds to do beautification at the 78th I-5 interchange, where the neighborhoods are actually getting donations of resources, and they're going to donate their time to put a bunch of vegetation on the on-ramp off-ramps, not on them, but beside the on-ramp off-ramps at 78th and I-5. It's the stuff that WashDOT was supposed to do and didn't do, and so we had to kind of work a partnership with them. So that's happening in early fall, so we're combining the two and having kind of a beautification, you know, Mark McCauley and Public Works were tasked with combining the two efforts and really getting the word out for that. So it would be early fall is when that's anticipated.
They're talking about restriping it?
Yeah.
Do you know a timeline on that?
I don't. No.
What I'm concerned about restriping, we had some conversation as to, because it's so wide, mm-hmm. that we could do the four lanes, bicycle lanes, and parking.
Right.
Until we go back and decide what we're going to do.
And that is...
So I don't know where...
We didn't move forward on that piece because we never got to a conclusion as to what we wanted to do, because we were focusing more on the 99th Street North, both the intersection there at 99th and Highway 99.
Well, that's what they were talking about, north. Bringing some of that money south, because they were talking about beautification and started at the south to move forward. That's where they were going to put the welcome to...
And that's already done. That's already taken care of. But as far as the striping and those aspects of it, they're not quite there.
They haven't signed there.
No. It's done as in, like, it's ready. It's just they're going to roll it out when they do the beautification at 78th. That's when they're going to roll it out. So, you trying. We could try to open a window, but, I mean, because there are windows. All right, next thing I had, did you meet with these guys, Commissioner?
Welcome them.
So, I will hand this to you. This is... these were gentlemen that came in from Savage and Tesoro. They are looking
at... I talked to them.
Okay, good.
Yeah, excited to have them here.
Yeah and I give them the heads up. I said, here's a good process, here's a bad process, to follow. Like, BHB Billiton did a good job of early outreach and communication, and the coal facility, the coal transport did not. And you can see the differences. I mean, you can see the differences in community support for it. And they're starting early working with the community, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
That'll quell any concerns people have.
Are you guys aware, talking about the Tesoro, that we have got 1/10 of Home Depot here now?
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
They brought from the East Coast. They're over there on 503. They can occupy space. Our staff did a bang-up job.
Good. Okay.
Answered all their questions within one day.
That's awesome.
That's great.
They were up and running. And, we have the Integra moved in into another space over there on the east. And see, that was a three, yeah. Three. Just recently, all moved,
which is awesome.
Had action on it, so.
Great.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, I saw the emails going back and forth, which was excellent. You guys did great. And giving them some kudos. I didn't even feel like I actually said a word.
Expressed that they were impressed by the speed for which Clark County moved their project forward. And
that's great.
One of those things we're just able to do because it's in an existing facility. And this is 1/10 of their operation. Like, they have plumbing, woodwork, gardening, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
This is the telephone part of it, roughly 60 employees.
Cool.
Average wage starts at 55 to 60.
That's awesome. That's great.
They have five open positions.
Very cool. Wow. Good.
Great. So. Steve, your one thing about Highway 99 reminded me of one other related issue. Code enforcement, this thing about the lawsuit with the going out and picking up, this doing a sign sweep.
Right.
I'm assuming that, I thought that code enforcement was just complaint driven. That we wouldn't go out and do sweeps and go looking for trouble. That situation happened because we were out there doing a sweep looking for trouble.
And that last notification, I think we got the word back to Bill.
Yeah.
And Bill may have...
Bill's working on Bill talked to Paul, but he's working on bringing something back to us. Totally agree with your concerns. What I was told initially was that there were complaints... there were complaints from the strip, from Highway 99, that said, hey, I got problems with all these signs that are doing this, that, and the other that are illegal. And inevitably, it was from businesses that didn't have the signs that felt like it was
competitors.
Yeah. So that is what I was told. That's why they went up and down that strip. But we'll get information from Bill when he gets back on it, because he was checking in with Paul. Because I agree with you, we don't have the time, the staff, the need to be out there cruising for violations. I agree with
you. Update on that case. they filled out their application. They did the application for some changes inside the building. They're going to be able to stay there. There was concern whether or not code enforcement on the 10% would apply to them, and whether or not the building was even legal. Hmm. They're there. They're up and running.
Cool.
There's no charges pending.
Good. Good.
That's great.
Well, just where they do that, I'm assuming that if we don't have a policy, that we would make a policy, and that policy would say that code enforcement does not go out there proactive, sweeping for stuff.
I think we have to reinstate it.
It has to be a specific neighbor with a specific problem with an adjacent neighbor.
Well, we'll check in with Bill about that, because our policy is that it is complaint driven, but we should check in with him and see, is that clear? Is there a clear policy that we don't go out there into a sweep and go looking for these violations? And I don't know the answer to that. We can find out though.
Okay.
And Jim, can you follow up with Bill when he gets back on that, please? Thank you. I had a few things more. Department of Commerce sent me a letter that I'm supposed to sign, but I don't want to sign it until we've talked. This is the designation of the Associate Development Organization, which has been and continues to be Columbia River Economic Development Council. The state provides funds for ADOs, but the county commissioner, the chair of the county commission, is asked to sign off on the designation associated with that. I wasn't willing to sign off until I talked to you guys about it.
I want to know more what they're passing through.
They passed through, I think, $270,000.
$169,000.
And where are they proposing to use it?
This annual funding comes from Department of Commerce, comes from the state level to support the economic development. They say pretty specifically what they have to do with it.
I asked the question because we're in the process of Kelly and our new position that we hope to fill pretty soon.
So
economic development.
That wouldn't qualify as an ADO. So they have specific requirements of what is an ADO. ADOs in each community or regional area must be broadly representative of community and economic interests, capable of identifying key problems and mobilizing broad support for recommended initiatives. There was like two other things in there.
Well, so far, don't we fit that category?
No. No.
Can we get a copy of that and discuss it?
We can. We need to. I need to sign it relatively quickly to be able to get any money from the state to be able to go to the ADO.
What's the cutoff?
When did they want it back?
17th.
May 17th. They want it now. So we got a few weeks.
I would like
weeks
to see if we could capture some of that for
because
economic development.
So here's the problem that we have. We are not an economic development entity that has countywide authority, right? Because we only control the unincorporated area of Clark County. That's why I say we don't qualify, because our economic activities can only occur in our area.
Our railroad is in both.
Our railroad is in both, but our authority over the economic development activity and the zoning and the economic development of it is only in the unincorporated county. And so there is only one organization throughout this county that has the membership and the qualifications, and it has been CREDC.
And my other concern was that they removed our seat.
Aren't you still going to the executive board?
They said they don't want us to go.
And I met
with one-on-one with
they pulled our seat, and you said, we're not going to give you the taxpayers' money, but we'd still like to be at the table.
Well, this isn't our money, right? This is the state's money. This is pass-through from the state.
Money that we control, that I think that we should be on the CREDC.
So what are you thinking, man? So if we were to sign off on this, we want a seat at the table?
Mm-hmm. At least. That's just for one.
I'd
like to hold it for a week. I'd like to hold it for a week and
can I at least make that request over the next week, saying, look, the thought is if you are willing to give us a seat at the table.
We're reviewing this thing, and we really think that we deserve it.
All right. I'm going to hold. I'm not going to do anything with this over the next week.
Well, can you make a copy for us?
Yeah, of course. Here, actually.
Excellent. I think it would be kind of cool that we're back at the seat.
Okay.
And I feel the same way that the chamber, you know, we kind of speak by.
I think that is a great way of dealing with it. That makes perfect sense, and it's a nice way for us to be able to kind of be back, you know, be at the table, and it's not using the county's resource, using state pass through, but it gets us that seat at the table.
But we are part of it.
Yeah, I like that. All right, so is it cool with you guys then that I make that overture to CREDC?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I will make that overture to CREDC. I'll get information back from them whether that would be acceptable, and then I'll bring it back next week.
Cool.
And we'll get copies in the interim. Sorry, I got a few things that have been piling up here. We would love for the board to, we've done this a couple of times before, write a brief letter, have Pete Monroe help us. Community Development Block Grants, which you're now the chair of the Urban Policy Board, they're on the chopping block at the federal level for the millionth time. It's something that comes up every once in a while, and just about every time it has come up, we have sent a letter to our congressional delegation saying these funds are really important to fund very important projects within our jurisdiction for the people who we both serve. Would you please keep
it's a very
eye
good
on.
Program.
Okay. So can I have staff draft something
yes,
up
sure,
on that?
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Thanks. We can make you.
County's honored for their transparency on the web. We weren't in the list, and I was like, we should be on that list. So I'm handing that off to Mary. I'm handing this off. Don't give me that look. I'm just handing you this article.
Give it to me. Somebody's working on that.
Good.
I
would love to see our name on that list next time.
Transparent
in the country
we have
for our web.
Somebody's working on it, and one of them, somebody's, is Mark Gessler.
Perfect.
Awesome.
That's what I was going to suggest.
All right. Clickitat Board of County Commissioners is asking that we write a letter to the governor recommending gubernatorial appointment of a Columbia River Gorge Commissioner. It is one of the governor's appointees. It's not one of ours. We actually get to do one, but this isn't that one. There is a woman that they love, that the Clickitat Commissioners love. Her name is Sandra Clark. She's apparently served very well. This is the letter that they sent. I was asked at WASAC, hey, would you guys be willing to send one as well? We love her. We think she does a great job recognizing landowner rights and business, you know, the economic development.
Do we have a bio for her?
No. We just have what they sent. This is one of those, like, you know.
She lives up there, I take it.
Yeah, yeah. She's from Clickitat. All the, you know, the Clickitat commissioners love her. This is one of those, hey, you know, we're looking for your support. We'll give you a letter at some point, too. But if I'll hold off if you want to get more about her.
Good to support. I mean, we don't know anybody else to do it.
Yeah, and
they know.
And I can make you feel better. The Clickitat board, not a bunch of flaming liberals. I'm just going to throw that out there for you. They are definitely not that.
They're not flaming?
Yeah, well, or liberal for that matter. So, yeah, either way. Yeah.
Okay, I'm good with this, Steve.
Thank you, sir. All right, passing that off. See, and then I'm emptying the folder. Washington Farm Forestry.
I should have been absent today.
Does not want to lose us as a member. Our Farm Forestry Association is the largest in the state of Washington.
Okay.
It is small foresters. These are mostly in North County, mostly in your district. We are a member of their organization.
I'm concerned.
So I forget how much it is. How much is it for us? Forget what it is. I think they wanted like $175 or something like that. Oh.
I've been reviewing all the memberships that we buy, and I've talked to some of the other cities and chambers and whatnot. They don't belong to any of them, and I think I really agreed in supporting them. And this is really tears at me. And it's not very much.
It's not.
Well, some
they do a lot of work that we can't, right? They go out, because Jim Vanley is only one guy.
Well, I'm just saying that this one's not very much, and the reason I'm saying it's tearing at me, because there's some other ones on the list that I'm really concerned with, and going to be bringing to you guys to reconsider as to the amount that we pay.
And for me,
in fairness, I want to say that.
No, and I think that's fair, and I think that it's fair for us to say, what do we get? What is the public benefit of the organization that we are
that's a good idea. Address each one
exactly individually on it, because there are some that we look at and probably say, well, that's a duplication.
And the farm forestry has been very proactive. It kind of reminds you of the DEEB board or neighbor association.
They'll help us, and they already have a lot in the rural look in a lot of those issues. So
have they, this is, we just haven't submitted our dues.
We just haven't paid our dues.
It's yeah. $175.
Is it $175, Jim?
I don't know. This would be the first. I haven't seen.
Oh, and he was like,
let me look at the website.
I've seen this before.
It might be in there.
Yeah, because the max that they have on their thing is $175 if you have over 200 acres. But they don't really have a specific amount, a specific ask.
Wonder what we paid in the past.
I don't know that we have. I don't think we have.
Oh, really?
It hasn't come through my fingers.
I thought they said it lapsed, and I think that's what they were saying to us. I don't know. Let's ask Bill next week about that.
Let's
pass
that
off. Because Bill brought it to me.
I'll look up the website. Perfect. See what their agenda is. We'll look to see whether or not this is one more organization to join, the brand new that we've never joined before.
That's where we are. I think they're good. And
they are.
I want to bring it up and say what I had to say because I have some that I have issue with. Mm-hmm. I may not understand it all, so I wanted to bring it up.
Totally understandable. All right, last thing, handing this off to you. This was the answer that I received to the question that I asked in a very...
Oh, thank you.
They didn't actually include my question, which was very tersely written. And I didn't use expletives, but it was kind of one of those days where I was not feeling the love on that. So this is the answer I got back from them. I also did... have a chance to communicate with the Secretary of Transportation about it and said, look, I got grave concerns if you guys are changing project specifications or project limits on this. Yeah, and so... Yeah, they did pretty well, and the funny part is it was after I talked to her that I got this response, so for whatever that's worth. But I got that response from that they are not...
What's the summary of this?
Summary is that they're not changing the project, that they're the way they report it to FDA requires that they do this kind of minimum functional segment that is necessary and funded. And so that's why they created smaller numbers as far as both the project cost, the amount that the Washington side is paying, and the number of interchanges necessary. So it's an FTA reporting requirement. That is their that is their response. I mean, and I leave it to you to kind of dig in on that and have Tiffany take a look and see what she thinks about it. This is the response that I got on that.
Okay.
And then it was corroborated by a couple different folks that I talked with in different conversations.
Can you forward this email also, Steve?
Yeah,
I would be able to print out.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, this was an attachment to that, so I'll forward this email.
That'd be good because. Yes, they do need to submit a report to the FDA that renews their application each year. Mm-hmm. I compared this one to the previous year, and this one is...
Changed.
This basically isn't just a reporting thing. This is saying this is now the project that, and it has, and they, in their own words, substantial changes have been made. And it, so it, that's what the problem is, not that they're reporting it. Is that what they're reporting is something different than what the approved project was.
Well, and that's and what they're saying, and you see it, it's the first paragraph that they say, is that the project, there has been no change to the project, only the reporting. I know. Trust me. Take it, run with it. I hand it off to you. I will forward it to you.
This is a real good question I'll submit that to Jeff Hamm, who will pass it on to them.
Good.
Say, how do you correlate these two? There hasn't been a change, and yet your official document says it has been a change.
They're saying two different things. That's the point.
Well, and what they're saying is that it's a specific report for FDA, and it's only one agency. That's what they're saying.
Me and my accountant.
I know.
If you're asking me for if I'm borrowing money, this is how much I make. But if I'm paying taxes, this is what I really make.
What I said earlier, as far as the only taking one side, I'll forward that on to you. Is that the reason I went to them and that I handed off to you without any prejudice, saying, "Well, this is the answer and it's right," is because for me to remain credible. Two people. For me to be credible to you, to constituents and otherwise, I can't go off half-cocked with only one side of the information. If I get one document from CRC and they say, well, this is the way it is, and I go banging the drum and say, that's the way it is, then I lose credibility because I haven't done the full array of homework necessary to get the picture. And so that's why I kind of cautioned as far as going off, even if Tiffany, she gives you a document, it looks incendiary, and it made me mad when I got it. But if we go off and we go to our senators and we say, this is what's going on, instead of saying, we have some serious questions about this. This is a report that came out, and we need you to look into it. That's a different way of dealing with it that I would only suggest keeps us all credible with everybody who we're serving.
I agree with everything you say on that. Absolutely true. This is a letter, which... is not there's no binding power to this at all.
Understood.
That was the official
document that funds the project.
It was an official document to FDA who funds one component piece of the project. And that's what they're saying is, look, this was one document to one funding agency about one aspect of the project. And that is why they had drawn it down to what is necessary only to fulfill that funding piece. You know, what is the minimum operational piece necessary to both make it functional and to be funded? That's what they're saying. That's why it's only a report to FTA. I don't disagree that there are questions because of change, because of the way they framed things, and because of complete lack of communication on all of this. It raises questions. I totally agree with you. And not all my questions have been answered yet. The other question I had that I posed to them was, what about the fourth plane interchange? Because the fourth plane interchange is where the southbound traffic that is supposed to use the park and ride that is necessary to be able to get commuters onto and onto light rail and taking them into Portland, you need that park and ride. The flyover at Fourth Plain was necessary to be able to manage traffic. If you don't have that, I'm concerned about traffic backups on that off-ramp that will impact both SR 500 and the main line, and how are they dealing with that? And that's what I asked them my latest question, and I have not received an answer to that.
Which interchanges have they excluded?
All but three is what, you know, basically.
Which ones?
So the three, let me see if I can find them here. So SR 14, Hayden, Delta Park, Hayden Island.
In other words, purple. They got purple out here.
No, too. Yeah, exactly. So.
Well, actually, they got basically, it looks like.
So here you go. So River Crossing and Approaches is from here to here, and here's.
Which is basically all light rail. This year's bridge. That's only for light rail.
Well, no, but that's the point, is that this isn't on there. That's my point, is that this right here, that's the park and ride, right?
It has to be on there, because otherwise you can't get light rail across.
The park and ride is, but this interchange right here, if you look at it, what the plan is to actually have this interchange take people into this park and ride. If you don't fix this interchange, if you don't include that in the initial piece of it, then there will be mainline backups in this area. So my question was, how can you exclude this from the what's necessary for light rail to work? How can you do that? That was my latest question. I haven't gotten an answer to that.
Thank you. I'll look at it. You know, the question is, if we're going to get the complete answer to this, if this is what the CRC staff has sent to the FDA,
mm-hmm.
What have they sent to the other agencies, the funding agencies?
It's a good question. I'll ask
because
that.
Because there should be consistency there, right? Otherwise, they're telling one story here and one story there, right?
Yeah.
It has to be the same project, right?
It is, but different component pieces are reported in different ways. We do that. We report the same project different ways to different agencies because they have different requirements. They ask us for different things. And so we report looks differently. It isn't as simple as to say, well, everybody gets the same application, because none of them have the same application requirements.
Not talking about different forms.
That's right.
About the same project. This one form that went to the FDA said much from this.
Yep.
Some.
But they don't care about the CRC project as a whole. What they care about, FTA cares about, is their component piece of it, because they're all siloed.
My point, Steve, is that, Mr. Commissioner, that we as project sponsors want to ensure that there is consistency in what this project is to all agencies.
I agree with that. And what they're saying,
one and another story for another.
I agree. And what they're saying is that they have not changed the story to anyone about what the project is. They are simply fulfilling the reporting requirements of FTA in how they ask for the information in a way that looks different, and that the project looks different because the FTA looks at it more narrowly, focused on, we are funding light rail and you need a match for this and you need to have the things that make it function. So they're only looking at a narrow component piece of it, but that the project itself has not changed in any of the reporting to FTA or FHWA, which are obviously the federal agencies that are in control.
So they have an application that they sent to FHWA.
Nothing has changed in that. And those applications came from the ROD. So, and nothing has changed in that. That's what they're saying.
What David's saying is that that's what they've done this year, but in the years past they haven't.
Right, and that change that does raise questions. There's no question. I agree. Totally agree.
Why did you report it differently this year?
What changed? I agree with that.
We can't discount it and disclaim it. It's just the report.
No.
It's the funding mechanism for this project, and it needs to be consistent across each agency. You can't tell the FDA this is the plan, and here is the funding, financing, here's what I'm asking for, and then have it, the old one unmodified to the Federal Highway Administration and ask for much more money, right? I mean, think of what you're saying here.
I'm saying the federal agencies are siloed and they have different reporting requirements, which is the truth. And it is all about reporting. You're saying as if somehow magically one report equals the project. It doesn't. One report is one report. And we can ask serious questions about that report that may indicate they have changed the product and the project. But it's still, it is an indicator. It is one potential thing that illuminates a change that has been made. It doesn't mean that document doesn't say we have changed the project for the purposes of overall funding. This is it. We're completely changing it.
I think we're just guessing. So
that's the point.
Absolutely. Anything else?
I got nothing else.
Did I give you the original back? I just want to make sure.
I don't know.
I hand the copy.
Oh, I might have the original.
Well, they're color copies.
Well, they're all color copies.
I think I gave you the original back, though. I guess it doesn't matter. They're all color copies.
Man, as long as
no, yours is darker than mine.
Okay. Whatever. All right. Go ahead. Axel, do you have
So follow-up letter to Joe Levesque. I've been working on that, but I was going to write it to Joe, but do you want me to write? He wants a letter to Herrera Butler's office saying that
we decided we're writing a letter to Joe, right?
So, okay. No, I met with Joe after that meeting.
Hold on, David.
I met with Joe and say, Joe, problem solver to problem solver here. I want you to succeed. And I have to tell you honestly, you have a fatal flaw in your plan. If you fix that fatal flaw, you've hooked up you've removed the broken link. You got a project, and that is you cannot expect Congress to pass a confidential piece, a public, and have it public.
It's and he went sideways on you in the hearing when you said that. He didn't really answer what you were saying exactly. What did you get out of that question about?
Five, six different times,
yeah.
Just trying to get through.
Yeah. And?
Couldn't get through.
All right.
No. He was in my office for 40 minutes after that.
So the letter it's got the fatal flaw. I can't put my name on that because I'm asking people to do something that's not possible.
I can't either.
So the letter we're writing is to Joe.
Yeah, we would say, Joe, we got a problem here, and we got to be honest with you. We love you succeed. If you fix this, you make the world a better place, but you can't.
Okay. So
you got to fix it.
Joe, fatal flaw letter. Got it. Letter to the Cranes. Anna was in that meeting. You want me to write a follow-up letter to them?
Yeah, let me make sure I see it first.
Okay, Connie Crane and her son David.
It's a thing.
Connie Crane?
Who's that?
Crane Manor.
With her son that's doing the thing. And here's the thing. Anytime somebody comes in and they're pushing the limits and they're trying to do stuff that it's they don't have a permit, they don't, and they've got a complaint, we can't keep giving them hope that you can do it. We have to lay it out and say, this is what the code says, and if you're going to somehow get a permit that's conditional or something, this is likely what you're going to have to do. You know, we can't guarantee it, but you're going to have to probably build a block wall fence in there. You're probably going to have a way for that neighbor to get in and out of their property, except through, so it doesn't go through yours. Are you willing to do that? If you're not willing to go through that expense, you'll kind of look ahead before you actually go down the road, then it's not going to work, and that's being honest with you. So that's the conversation I had with them. They actually, I thought they accepted it pretty well, don't you think?
I thought you did a great job of letting them down softly and letting them know that they need to comply.
We gave them plenty of time. We kept them out of foreclosure with our actions and gave them time to comply with the conditional use.
Yeah. So otherwise these things drag on for months and months or even years with false hope. We can't do that. We have to actually come to a decision and say, sorry. Work.
We were trying to help them, but Medora said no. And doing our best to try to help them out.
Make sure I see
it. People have me write them a letter saying, "Hey, we heard.
I'm so sorry.
I heard
so
that Commissioner Medora wrote that."
Yeah. Actually, they were quite positive about it. They shook my hand. I thought I did a good job.
It went good.
Well,
did anyone make a promise that we would certify Mr. Stanton's U.S. citizenship through a letter?
No,
we didn't.
I talked to him afterwards. Okay. He threatened me with recall again, thanked me for my service, and then threatened me with recall, and wanted me to authorize his citizenship. I said, I don't believe I have that power to call you a citizen. I can call you one, but I don't think I can have can make it official. Unless some lawyer can tell me otherwise. He wants us to just, and I think it would be good, at least for me, I said, look, I'm not a constitutional scholar. I don't claim to be. I don't know My understanding is that we do not have control over the issues that you are speaking of, but I'll double check and make sure we double check with legal.
That kind of reminds me of the...
No, the answer is no. Okay.
Kind of reminds me of the guy that got run over by the bus. Hippie walks up and looks at him and he says, call me an ambulance, call me an ambulance. And Hippie looked down at him and says, okay, man, you're an ambulance.
Yeah, exactly. I'll call him a citizen. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so no one promised a letter to
him.
Yeah, it's really, it's a shame because there are patriots and they really value the Constitution and they go back to the founding principles and all that stuff's good. But they can take it to the point where they won't listen and they're asking for impossible things. And somehow you can't. If they won't listen, they're unreachable.
Yeah.
You can't tell them they're off on a tangent that's not real.
And that's what I told them.
It's misguided.
I mean, I didn't tell them that exactly, but I definitely told them. I said, look, I mean, if I don't have authority, I don't have authority, and you got to do what you got to do. I mean, if you feel like that's something you got to take it up with the people, that's what you got to do.
They see us as the government.
But the authority invested in me, I dub you.
Exactly. Here's my stamp.
Yeah. BPA meeting with the stakeholders on Friday. It's mainly the citizens group, but I've also invited and got confirmations from Castle Rock and Camas, and the point of that is now that our comments are in, what do we do? There are some outside rumblings of potentially a coalition or a group asking for a supplemental EIS, because some of the comments, when you look through them from all the agencies and jurisdictions and stakeholders, are very similar. So just putting that out there. I don't know what the takeaway.
Let us know next week how that meeting goes.
Yeah, Friday we'll compare comments and decide. Quiet Zone work session next week, so hopefully we'll be moving on that project.
Excellent.
The Historic Promotion Grant Program is getting ready to need to start, so I have a meeting set up with Mr. Kimsey and you to tell you what the budget for next year is. It's going to be another, like...
Historic grant permit, that's when we have a list of things, of recipients that we award that to.
Yep.
Do we want to review that?
Well,
we will come to us.
Okay. It comes in the fall.
Yeah.
It
reminds
applicants.
Me of the foreign aid policy. You just have a whole bunch of names on it, and everybody just keeps busting it over and over, and they never go back to readdress.
No, and they have to apply, like,
higher
each project comes in and reapplies, and this specifically comes from that recording fee that can only go for historic preservation. Mm-hmm. And so each year we go through applications that Kimsey and I kind of chair this group of folks who know a lot about historic preservation, and then those projects will recommend projects to the board, and then the board reviews it and approves it or not.
I just thought of another little item here. Last week I toured the archives or the evidence storage.
Mm-hmm. Pepsi building.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful.
No, it's not.
It's getting cold.
I've never lived there before.
Well, the reason I'm doing it now is because
the
building has a section that the Historic Society is really occupying, which is junk, or not junk. It's like old stuff that's been there for a long, 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 long time. They need that. This evidence team needs that space, and it's so underutilized. Steve, you sit on that board, right?
I do. On which board?
The historic
preservation grants.
Can you help them to find a solution for that? Because
we can talk to the historical museum about that.
It would be so much better to get that little bit of stuff out of there.
Is it the museum or the historical preservation society or commission? We have the Jackie runs the commission.
You can check with the evidence storage.
Yeah, check with Jackie Batson to see.
Find out whose stuff is in that.
Sorry.
The historical
stuff is in
there. Who's got their crap in our garage?
You'll find it's the museum, which in fact was housed in the county courthouse.
Okay. Well,
we'll find out.
Okay. There's that, and also the northern face of that building has all these roll-up garage doors, the white in the area, and they have to walk all the way around there. And they're out of space pretty much on the other building.
Just
anyway.
Roll up the door and go in.
Well, they would like. They actually have a common wall that they blocked up, and they would like to remove that. The problem is that somehow.
That's Mark McCauley, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We need to have our staff release that to them, because it would make them. It would give them the space they need, and also open up an indoor passage, so they don't have to walk around the block to get in that same that building.
Jim, can you ask Bill to look into that and what the other space is? Because that makes good sense. I'm always nervous when someone tells you, oh, yeah, we can just, nobody's using it, we can just have it. It's like,
well, it's not that they're just, I would say talk with the staff.
Yeah.
Find out. It sounded to me it was a very reasonable request. I actually looked and went around with them, and it looked like, yeah, this is, turn it loose. Let them use it because they need it.
Let the historical museum use it?
No. This was the evidence storage. Yeah. What do you?
Okay. Archives.
So yeah. Is a vacant spot there somewhere?
Well, they have a area where they store all the automotive.
Yep.
Vehicles they've been through crashes for evidence,
mm-hmm.
and that's almost full. They have room like for one or two vehicles left,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is basically all roll up doors, and it's just like Mark McCauley would like to be able to use it for something in the future, but it's not, and they need the space, and it's right there, and it really looks like it belongs integrated with that team.
Mark knows all about it, probably.
Yeah, we'll find out.
So there's a wall that splits that out. There's empty space across the wall.
There is one common, two common walls. One has been bricked up, so if they can put a door in there, now it all becomes one space again. So much better for them.
So fees are coming to you guys in less than 2 weeks. You've got cannabis is at work session with the Planning Commission this month, and then wineries is coming back to you in May. So are you guys?
Hey, we got a second winery group in.
Yeah, I saw that email.
John Kukur, and they're suggesting, and they were talking to Gordy about two phases. And the example they were using is that most tasting rooms close up at 6, 7 o'clock. They're just tasting rooms.
Mm-hmm.
The other are entertainment facilities.
Events, yeah.
And so there's a big difference of requirement between the two. So maybe they're onto something. Their group has come up and they've talked about this, and I was trying to get them together with the other group.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, we can do that. We'll do it at the work session. We'll bring them all up to the table and make that part of
the
conversation.
They were all at Planning Commission, and that came up. There's a bit of a
whatever. We'll put them all at the table. Yeah. They're all
related to that.
Creating vino.
I think it would be good for any time we have a workshop where we kind of set direction, that we would get copied as to what's going to get communicated to staff.
Oh,
because
do?
Last week I met with Ron Barca. It's not Ron.
Yeah.
Is it? And
Planning Commission.
Planning Commission, yeah. And he had an entirely different take on what he got directed, the Planning Commission got directed out of our, I mean, they're off on an entirely different project. They thought somehow there's a disconnect between what we communicated and what they heard down there.
Hmm.
So it would be really good for us as a standard procedure. Anytime we set direction, we have the workshops to set direction. Go, hey, staff, go off and do something. Well, we don't get copies on what direction comes out of there.
Sure we do. That's the memorializations. Every time after a work session when it says memorialization of that, that's it. So if it's not getting it in the memorialization, and I've done this and we've all done it, if they're not getting it right in that memorialization, or if the information isn't enough or isn't, then that's the document that sets the frame for the next step.
We reply to that if there's something different or left out of the memorialization.
And is that what the Planning Commission used?
And then we get a...
That's what they use for the basis of their conversation. Yeah.
Can you find out?
Well, yes, I can. So, yeah, arguably what Gordy would have done after that work session with you all is send out a memorialization, say, hey, this is the perspective and direction I'm taking, and then he would have crafted that into his document that he submitted to the Planning Commission for their consideration.
And that's what they would go by.
Right.
I think we should put it on a... I'll talk to Bill about this, but I had a talk with Commissioner Medora this morning about... Remember, you had brought it up before. You were griping at the staff about get us the stuff ahead of time. As a staff member, as painful as that is, I get that. I mean, at least, and we kind of do it for a while and then we creep back. So I just think we need to readdress that, whether it's Planning Commission materials or board hearing materials or whatever it is we're doing, just try to remind ourselves to have the stuff done a week ahead of time. I just think that'll help a lot with what you're talking about in terms of what did we submit to the Planning Commission. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have a talk to Bill about
good.
That.
Okay, it's 4:30, so I want to make sure that, and we're just about, we're over already, but nevertheless, go ahead.
I want to remind everyone that Tim Lickness, who's been our election supervisor for 30 years, employee for 34, is retiring, and there's a gathering in his honor Friday afternoon, 1 to 4 p.m. at
this Friday?
Elections. Yes.
Okay, this Friday at elections, 1 to 4.
Do we have all emails?
Pardon me?
Can you email that to us?
Yeah.
And did the commissioners staff we do a plaque or something
get on the calendar?
I don't know. I'm reporting it because it's the subject of a major article in this week's news.
Can somebody check? Jim, could you check?
Oh, I have 1 o'clock.
If we did a plaque for Tim, because we should have. I mean, we do plaques for a lot of retirees, and Tim's one that deserves one more than most.
Unless Kenzie did it.
Yeah.
Can we find out? Because I just delivered one, and I'm going to deliver another one for the sheriff's office from the commissioners to a sheriff's employee. So, yeah, we should.
Yeah, he's been called the best in the state.
Oh, yeah. He's spectacular. We've been really, really lucky.
Mm-hmm. So. By the way, I went to the last night to the volunteer event, celebration event at Elk Eye High School, and it was attended by like a couple hundred volunteers.
Good,
amazing.
Wow.
Wonderful event.
Awesome.
Which volunteer
this was,
group?
This was
that?
For Vancouver City. I heard they at the same time we had something, a volunteer event for
the
county.
We were down. I was at the recognition of Juvie Volunteers.
Okay.
Where they have all the mentors, their veterans.
That one.
Well, they had the every group that volunteered for the city was there. It was incredible.
Cool.
They had the ham radio operators,
they
neighborhood.
Retirement platform.
We did.
Auditors has it right now.
Okay.
With ours from us. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you, Jennifer.
Scratch neighborhood on watch now. Community emergency response team. They had.
Sir. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Good.
And I understand that we have at the county the neighborhood on watch. Citizens are out volunteer patrolling. In coordination with the sheriff's office. They have that at the state.
Volunteer.
There was a neighborhood watch program under the sheriff's office that it still exists. I don't know how
it's
much they put into
watch.
It. It's not called that.
Now.
It's something.
Neighborhood
that
on now. Watch.
There you go. All right.
And there's a guy
there
that's
office.
Been there for 20 years volunteering, like a, not like a deputy. He's like a, he wears a uniform, he drives a car. And
reserve?
Okay.
Well, that's
the deputy
that's
reserve.
Different.
That's
a
different thing.
Deputy
yeah.
reserve
different.
Program.
Yeah.
It
okay.
is different. Yeah, these are actual citizens, volunteer citizens. They don't wear a uniform. Well, they have shirts, but not like a police uniform.
Exactly. I walk my neighborhood with my sidearm sometimes, just, you know.
I heard that.
Patrol
for
blades a little bit.
Call now.
You just got to be watching out.
That was a good thing.
Now, dog. Just expose it. You don't have to worry about it.
No, that's very cool. That is a great event, and I'm glad you were there. That's cool.
And the Juvie one was great, too. It didn't have that many people there. It was great recognition because it consists of mentors that go with these juvenile delinquents, and then they have the work program. And it's opt in, opt out. And do you want to do something while you're here? Cause, and then they teach them to recognize that they have an accountability type thing where they actually do projects and sell their projects to pay back to the victims.
Mm, that's great.
All right. Burning daylight.
One quick thing. Did you guys get the word about the state senate approving CRC funding?
What?
So,
approving in the baseline budget, the continuing funding.
81 million minus 4.
The 81 million or whatever.
Well, you got to hit the camera.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so the 81 million that with the amendments that Benton and King placed on it, and they actually got concurrence from ID, which is why Don bailed on one of his amendments. Was
Itty?
It?
Itty? It was called
Edie. I know. Itty.
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 Itty. It came in on Washington Wire. I didn't know if you heard of it.
Today?
Yeah. And the House signed off on it.
I don't know.
Those amendments are there.
Yeah, those amendments were placed on it, and then those were agreed to by the Senate Democrats. So, yeah.
Okay, then the only thing is FETV, they have submitted their invoice for the second quarter of 2013. Mm-hmm. You may recall under the contract, this quarterly payment, $12,500 or $50,000 per year. So I just leave it to you. What do you want to do with that?
They need it. And it's worthwhile. When at some time in the future, somehow we got to look at the mix between what comes in for CBTV and the pittance that goes to FETV. Those guys, it's a shame what's going on there.
I agree. You know the funny part? They didn't get anything until a couple of years ago, and we started finally recognizing that they didn't even get a pittance, and it's
50,
which is ridiculous for all the good work.
$50,000 and all the old equipment, I think.
Well,
it's like $4,000 a month.
Yeah,
it's hard.
They can apply for it in PEG grants. They can apply for some of that.
Yeah, it's in really sad shape. They really need at least two full-time people there to head that up. And there needs to be somehow, when that agreement with Comcast comes up, I assume that's the time that the mix is defined, that needs to be addressed. It's shameful.
That's right now. Right now.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to give them an HD channel. As well.
Yeah, which is good. That's a good thing for them at least. But
so we have
two
or three.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Off
go. Anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
Jim, you have anything you need from us?
Just other than it came up a couple times in the work sessions today, the work that Adriana is doing on the model.
That'd be great.
She's getting pretty accurate information on that. She's getting information from GIS to be able to break it down by type of industry or whatever. We should have that ready for Monday.
Wonderful.
And if you'd like, I can ask Bill if I could, on your one-on-ones or whatever, just share it at that time. Or
the sooner the better, yeah.
I was encouraged today at the deep meeting to hear that no one thing we did made the impact, but all of them together did.
Yep.
And that was really impressive because we've been on the right track. We are on the right track. And we have made a difference. Mm-hmm. And I could see where no one thing would make the difference. But the combination of the things are fitting the needs of the...
Well, keep in mind, we're only talking to a group that is developers for land, and we're really not talking to the group that's the build-out for tenant improvements, not really. And so that's a piece of the puzzle that we're not really addressing.
Not with them, but we have with Marty, we have on tenant improvements and whatnot. So we have done... Both places we've addressed.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that the expertise and really the interest and passion of this group has to do with the long term. This is the long term, not the short term necessarily. This is the development of from ground up rather than tenant.
I recognize the moratorium and the holdings that we have, that could be dealt with concurrency, which is short term.
Yeah.
There's sure you want to get to the point where we don't want to get to moratorium.
That's what happened in the past.
Yes, it has.
And that's what we learned, that we are the keepers of the gate, and we can set the standard to bring things into concurrence. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Fix the root.
Yeah. Anything else?
Thank you.
Good work with you guys. Yeah, good job.